We already have a few people who are vacationing, but this is typically here in the States the holiday, the weekend that kicks off vacation time. But I'm going to suggest something to you because today, as you're going to see, is going to be the transition, and we're going to start moving into some very practical how-tos, and we get through the weeks to come, lots of examples. But because it is vacation season, we want you to go. Take vacation, enjoy yourself. But let me just remind you that you can listen to what you've missed online. Now, we've got a new website, and I have to be honest with you, I haven't fully explored every aspect of it. But I'm assuming we still have that if you listen online, you pull up your phone, that there's a speed control. How many of you know that you can listen to me a lot faster and still understand? Digital is different. You can speed things up and you don't sound like Mickey Mouse. That's the way I listen to audiobooks. I don't have time to listen to a 10-hour audiobook in 10 hours. Nobody got time for that. Yeah, you speed it up 1.5 times, you still understand everything and you can get a lot of stuff done. That's the way I listen to, podcasts, all kinds of things. Sometimes you got to jump through a few hoops to do that. But my point is that keep up, even if you have to do it online. Okay? But pay full attention and meditate on the word that comes forth and let God speak to you out of what's said. True story I'm about to tell you. True story. I love this story for a lot of different reasons. Not too long ago, a woman was driving and praying. Says, Lord, she just actually come from a Christian conference in the Atlanta area. And she's praying, Lord, I'll do anything for you. I want to be used by God. Just tell me what you want me to do, and I'll do it. And so in that moment, she had this sense that I'm supposed to turn left as she's driving. Okay, I'm going to turn left. She turned left, and she's thinking, I'm wondering if God is actually directing me to go do something right now. So after driving for a little bit further, she had this impression that she should now turn right at this next intersection. So she does. She turns right at the next intersection. And, she's just, okay, I don't know what's going on here. Maybe this is just me. How many of you have been there, done that? But I'm going to follow it through. So this woman ends up in a part of town that she's not all that familiar with. And she ends up right in front of a convenience store, which she sensed was the place that God wanted her to be. So she gets out of the car, she walks in, but the only thing, now hear me carefully, the only thing that keeps going through her mind at this point was go over in front of the clerk and stand on your head. Pretty weird, right? Now, how many of you know that most of us at this point would walk in and we're thinking, go stand on my head in front of the clerk? Okay, this has been a fun exercise. Let's go back out. Let's get in the car and let's get on with the other things that I have to do. That's where most of us would be, especially those of us who are a little bit older and we don't do much standing on our heads anymore. I mean, somebody's going to get hurt. But the point is, she thought, okay, Lord, are you sure? Now, here's the thing. She's asking, Lord, go stand on my head. Are you sure? And in that moment, she felt nothing. No sense of confirmation. Hear me carefully. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't force you, drive you to do anything. He's not going to shove you into doing what we are unwilling to do. Demons drive and harass and push and shove, but not the Holy Spirit. So in this moment, this woman, she's got a choice to make, right? Finally, she just said, okay. But notice how she goes about this. She goes over to where all the chips are. And she's reading studiously, all the bags of chips on the back side of them. What she's doing, she's waiting for everybody to clear out and also to build up some courage to go stand on her head in front of the clerk. Because I guess this is what God wants me to do. So finally, everybody leaves the store, and she noticed that near where the clerk is, there's a pole, and she says, "Hey, look what I can do." And she goes over and stands on her head up against this pole. And from her upside down position, she sees the clerk just go like this. And so as she's flipping back down, she's thinking, okay, this guy thinks I've lost it. He thinks I'm a real freak. But as she walked to the register, the clerk was actually crying. She says, "What's the matter?" This is what he told her. He said, "About a half an hour ago, I'm sitting here working, and I just said, 'God, if you're really real, have somebody come in here and stand on their head.'" She led him to the Lord. He now attends the same church she does. This is an unusual story. It's not likely that you and I are going to have too many of these kinds of things exactly that way. But let me tell you something. What this does is exemplify the heart of somebody who wants to cooperate with God in their life to reach other people. And this is what I want to talk to you this morning. Are you willing, on this Memorial Day weekend, where we look at people who have made the ultimate sacrifice for a greater good, for people that they don't even know, are we in the kingdom of God willing to sacrifice our pride, our sense of self-worth in the sense of who we think we are, and the dignity and the composure that we think we're supposed to engage in and have? Are we willing to let God use us and produce something foolish that ends up confounding the wise? What if she had been wrong? What if the guy would have just looked at her and said, "Hey, well, look at you. Aren't you special? Wish I could do that too. Thank you." I mean, what would she have lost? A little bit of dignity? A whole lot of pride? I don't know about you, but I got plenty of pride to spare. Some of it needs to die. And not a slow death. Just kill it. You know, it's easy to brush off those nudges, those promptings of the Holy Spirit, and tell us that that can't be God. But notice in this situation, what the Lord was speaking to her to do was not immoral, and it wasn't unbiblical, was it? It was just different. First Peter chapter 5, beginning of verse 5, Peter writes and says, "Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility." Say humility. Humility. Humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace, help, resource to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift who up? You. Me. Now look, I'm about to barbecue some sacred cows that reside in some people's hearts and minds. Every one of us need to get over this. "Oh, it's not me. It's just all Jesus. No, don't look at me. I'm hideous. Sanctuary." You know. Okay, Quasi, it's time to wake up and read the book. Who do you think God is going to use? God used this woman. She drew attention to herself by standing on her head in front of the clerk. didn't she? It's okay that you are seen and that people recognize. I mean, Proverbs says your gifts will bring you before great people. I understand the principle there. People see me. You're looking at me right now. God bless you and help you. But it's all what you do with what your recognition may bring you. Do you give it to God or do you say, yeah, look at me. I'm pretty something, aren't I? I'm God's gift to humanity. Glad you recognize that. No. It's saying, thank God, yes, I'm just his servant, but it's God who touched somebody's heart. People are going to see you. People are going to recognize you. But you give the glory to God. That's the way it works. None of this, don't applaud, don't do anything. No, no. Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Okay? Your obedience, this woman in this story, is recognized for her faithfulness. People are named in Scripture and immortalized throughout eternity because of their faithfulness and obedience. Or in some cases, bad examples of, hey, remember this guy, remember this gal. Don't do what they did. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand, therefore, that he may lift you up in due time. Why does God want you lifted up? So that people... Let me go back to what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Therefore, let people see your good works, the things that you do, and glorify your Father in heaven. Think on these things. Settle it on your own heart. God is going to use you to minister to people. And they're going to be grateful to you. And that's okay. I'm grateful for my mom who led me to the Lord. Aren't you grateful to the person who led you to the Lord? You remember their name. You know who they are. Aren't you glad? I thank God for this person. Right? Same thing can happen with you. So this Memorial Day weekend, let's look at what needs to be sacrificed for the benefit of others. Paul talks about, the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. He says, always caring about in the body, his physical life, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life of Jesus also may be manifested, illustrated, demonstrated in our body, in our lives. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. God is going to use you, flesh and blood people, because there ain't nobody else. Nobody here but us chickens, right? We're about to become courageous chickens. Think about what this woman would have let slip by if she had just walked away from the nudge. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 8, beginning verse 34, he says, then he called the people to him as well as his disciples and said to them, anyone who wants to be a follower of mine must renounce self. Go stand on your head. That kind of thing. He must take up his cross and follow me. Let me ask you, could this woman, this was a point, this is what a cross is. I get so frustrated with people who have some unfortunate malady or, you know, condition, physical sickness, disease, whatever, and they say, oh, this is just my cross. No, no, no. A cross is something you are free to pick up and you are free to put down. Okay? Cross is like what this woman experienced. She walked in, all she's hearing, go stand on your head in front of the clerk. Okay, that sounds, how could this be God? She could have turned around and walked out. That would have been putting down the cross. She didn't have to pick it up. You want to be a follower of Jesus. You want to do the works of Jesus. Pick up your cross and follow him. Verse 35, she says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Trying to preserve your pride, your dignity for yourself. I mean, who else is it for? Right? Well, what will people think of me? If you only knew what they already think of you, you probably wouldn't be so concerned about it. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. The treasure is in the risk. We say that we're willing to, oh, Jesus, I'd die for you. You die for me, I'd die for you. But are we willing to look foolish? Are we willing to look foolish for him? First Corinthians chapter 1, Paul again says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. He says, moving on into chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but notice this, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God the Holy Spirit working in and through me. He says, the reason why is so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. The things that you just think, this is just crazy. How could this be God? Listen, how many times have you said, oh, within the last year or so, maybe in the last decade, man, this world's getting crazy. Or some words to that effect. Man, what is happening to the world around me? Well, how many of you know, maybe it's just going to take a little quote-unquote craziness in order to reach people. Because when you step out from a prompting of the Lord to say or to do something, you don't know what's been happening on the other side. You don't know what's been going on in that person. You don't know what they've said, what they've asked God about, and you coming and bringing some point of confirmation, even if nothing seems to happen, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. Right? Are you willing to play a role? In other words, have a part in reaching, ministering people, seeing people healed and set free and come to Christ. Even if you're not the final point, you're just a contributing point along the way. These are the kinds of things that we need to be willing to acknowledge and say, Lord, I am your servant. I do not live for myself. I live for you in all that I do and say. What's my role? And if it means that people laugh and mock and say I have Twinkie filling on my shirt, I don't know where that came from. I do like Twinkies. I'm willing to do it. Like I said, I'm not claiming perfection here. I've already told you true things that have happened at the bank where I spend a couple of days a week. Coming around the counter, laying hands on people, praying for them, reaching across the counter, ministering to people, feeling prompted by the Lord. And I can tell you more times that I've chickened out. I did. Felt a prompting. Guy came in just last week. He says, man, I think I got the flu or something. I'm just feeling bad. And I'm looking at him thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do here? Really, do I have to touch him, Lord? I mean, I really don't want the flu right now. Not allowing to act upon the fact that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Yeah. This is something that we grow in. That we improve in. That we get better at. Okay? It's like learning to walk in this area. Little kids learning to walk. How many of you know they fall a lot? But they get back up. Are you willing to fall and get back up? For God to use you, you have to be willing to be interrupted and available. Rarely does it come when you are, quote unquote, all prayed up, all studied up, whatever else that you think that you need to be, because these things just happen. Be instant, in season, out of season, ready to share the hope that lies within you. God isn't necessarily looking for qualified people. God is looking for available people. Yes, we need to be intentionalist about being people who share the good news of Jesus Christ, but we also need to be naturally supernatural, just allowing the life of God, the Spirit of God in us, to speak to us about people and situations that we encounter every day. This requires a willingness to be interrupted. Listen, God isn't always going to grab you by the collar and make you pray for somebody or tell someone something for him. But the Lord does intently and intensely desire that every one of us be used for kingdom work. And sometimes working for the kingdom starts as a discipline in us. Lord, I'm committing to this. I'm going to put this into practice. No matter how many times I fail or fall down or look foolish with no result that I can see. But ultimately, it needs to become a passion in us. If we never become people of expectation, we will never accurately represent Jesus Christ on this earth. We'll never do the works of Jesus. Our desires also need to sync up with His desires. We need to spend time with God. And this is one of the ways that we start to recognize the ways that Jesus is at work all around us. And then we can join in with what He's doing. Personally, I'm praying more and more. Mike, would you put up the next thing? This is my prayer. Lord, help me to pay attention to all the ways that you're working around me so that I can join in with what you're doing. I want to be a kingdom participant, not a spectator. It's easy to lose your nerve and second guess yourself at the last minute. Real easy. Instead of stepping into an opportunity for God to work. So let me give you a little clue. So often, the Lord's promptings in your heart and mind will be as light as a feather landing on your arm. Barely noticeable, barely distinguishable, and so easy to go, oh, there, I look okay now, don't I? I don't have any feathers on me now, right? More concerned about the approval of people, dare I say it, than the approval of God. I'm not saying go out here and make a fool of yourself just on every little whim that comes along, but you do need to start saying, God, I want to be used by you to minister to people, to help people. And as I've said before, there's so many times that idiot at work. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. The one that just aggravates everybody around him. You realize that if you say, God, help me to help this person, and he does, what a blessing that'll be to everybody else. Right? And that's a good thing. Okay. Sometimes when we first step into a situation, you say, okay, God, I sense that I'm here, or God, you have brought this person across my path. We don't always get it right away, or where it's not obvious what God is doing in this situation. But I'm telling you, you need to stay with it. Stay with it all the way through. We are to minister according to our proportion of faith. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have much faith for looking foolish. Just not something I've ever done. But listen, I don't know about you. I want to grow in faith to do more of the works of Jesus. We need to grow in faith. Don't let that portion of faith stay the same. He will teach us to respond to His voice. He will fine-tune our hearing. If we're willing to take the risk And let me just tell you right now, you say, God, I want to be on board. I want to get up to where 100% of the time I sense your prompting, I'm going for it. Listen, even if you acted on every little prompting you felt was from the Lord, you're probably at best ever in your life, you're going to grow and eventually get to only about 80%. Why? Because we have this treasure in clay vessels. Okay? But you can be improving. And that's my only point here. I want you to be dissatisfied with where you're at. I want you to say, God, I want to move up. And listen, even if you only increased in this, let's just say even 5% a year, do you realize that in 20 years, you've made a lot of improvement? Amen. God is using you to minister to people all around you. And there's a lot of needy people. A lot of needy people. So we want to grow to do more of the works of Jesus. Okay? So anyway, knowing that you're never going to be 100%. Are you willing to die to yourself and continue to pursue God encounters in people's lives? We are His hands, His feet. See, God's gift to you is ability, and your gift to God is availability. We always want God to go first. Well, I tell you what, God, give me a sign. Give me a sign that you're really telling me to do this. I want you to go first. Please allow me to remind you this morning that God has already gone first. He sent Jesus. Jesus said, it's to your benefit that I go away because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be a good thing for you. Okay? God has gone first. So He's looking for people who'll be willing to step out and say, God, I want to pursue you in this. No matter how many times I don't get it right, how many times I get it wrong, well, I guess that wasn't God, but let me just throw in here, by the way. You know, sometimes you, listen, God will never criticize you. He will never hold it against you if you are doing it because you really, it's a good thing, and God, in your heart is, God, I want to serve you. Let me take just a moment here and remind you. Oh, and just because it's just coming quickly here. I don't remember if it was the first time or the second time that Abraham tried to give his wife away. I think it was the first time. God says, go here. Abraham gets there. It's a famine. Well, this couldn't be God, so he keeps going. And he marches right on into a place that he should not be, but he recognizes, okay, wait a minute. My wife is a knockout. And these people, they're pagans, all of them. They're pagans. And they're going to kill me so that they can have her. So he says, hey, Sarah, how about you say you're my sister? Which was a half-truth because she was his half-sister. You tell him that you're my sister. And so he goes to live in the land. The king is called Abimelech. And all of a sudden, his advisors, word gets out. There's a new beautiful woman, a brother and a sister here. And Abimelech, you know, the king is advised, take her into your harem. So that's what he does. And the night before he's about to consummate this relationship, God appears to him in a dream and says, you are a dead man. Read it. I think this is Genesis 20, right in through there. Read it. You're a dead man. And Abimelech says, why? What have I done? You've taken another man's wife. But God, He told me. He told me it was His sister. In the integrity of my heart, I believed Him. And God said, and that's the only reason you're still alive right now. This man is a prophet. You restore to him his wife, and don't you touch him or his wife. Well, how many of you know that Abimelech didn't wait for the rooster to crow? He gets out of bed and says, Abraham, what have you done to me here? Why didn't you tell me? She's your wife. I don't know. So he gave Sarah back and told everybody in his kingdom, you don't touch this man, you don't touch his wife. In fact, we're going to give them good parting gifts to get them out of here because I want to live. And actually what God told him, he says, you talk to him and he will pray for him. Because right now, back in those days, having lots of babies was a good thing. And in the pagan world, lots of wives, lots of babies meant a good thing for you. He says, and that wasn't happening for this ruler. He says, you pray for him and God will open up and you'll be dropping babies like rainwater. And that's what happened. What I'm saying is, if in the integrity of your heart, you believe that God has spoken you to do something, to say something, to follow through with something, to bless somebody else, not to exalt your own ego, but to bless somebody else. There's a humility about this. You want to bless them. And if you're wrong, God's going to say, okay, come on, get back up. Let's go again. And you've got to be willing to say, okay, yeah. Instead of, oh, no, I tried that once and it didn't work out and I'm never doing that again. Why? Keep going. Pursue it. Grow in it. Increase in it. Get it right. You remember when Jesus faced the hungry multitudes? What did Jesus do? So many of those instances you read, and his disciples have short memories, but he turned to them, because they come to him, Jesus, we got hungry people here. Send them away so they get food. There's no food in the wilderness. What did Jesus do? He turned to his disciples and said, you feed them. Well, Lord, I got my handy dandy calculator here, and you know what it would take to feed this many people? Look at that number. We don't have anything like that. Where are we going to get it? What do you have? God isn't asking you to provide something you don't have. He's wanting you to use what you do have, and he will make up any and all the difference. Well, we've got a little boy here. He's got a couple of fish sandwiches here. That's all we need. Tell everybody to sit down. Now, you start telling people to sit down in groups of 50 or whatever, because there's food coming. Back in those days, people rioted over less. I mean, people riot today over nothing, but back then, you don't mess with their food. And the Lord took it. He blessed it. He broke it and kept breaking and breaking and breaking. And everybody ate till they were filled. Okay? We've got to be willing to take risks, to step out. It's unfortunate. I'm going to end with this. It's unfortunate that there are people who believe that healing and miracles and the like are not for us today, that they ended with the apostles. And I want you to hear me carefully, and you may want to get a CD or go listen online and listen to this little segment of the message again and again, because you need to take hold of this. It's very easy to debunk this, to prove this to be the fallacy, the theological fallacy that it is. And I think this attitude can easily be shown to be erroneous by the simple definition of a miracle. A miracle is an act or a happening in the material or physical sphere that departs from the laws of nature or goes beyond what is concerning these laws. In other words, a miracle is an intervention of God into the realm of natural laws or human activity. In other words, it's God coming on the scene. We just suggest to you the very basics. Every answer to prayer, regardless of how big or how small, is a miracle. But even more than that, hear me now. Every new birth is a miracle. Every time somebody receives Jesus Christ, and the old has passed away and all things become new, they become a new creation, that is a miracle. And I would submit to you that there's no greater miracle than the new birth. Think about it. In the new birth, a person becomes new. This person is just not revamped or kind of worked over. He's born again, becomes a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you know, an act of healing whereby God comes into immediate contact with a person's physical body and heals it, restores it, is no more a miracle than the new birth in which God comes in contact with the spirit, the inner being of a person. Listen, it takes a miracle to change the nature of a person. It takes a miracle to change the nature of an individual. So to say that miracles belong only to the apostolic age would be to say that the new birth is not for us today. And that from the apostolic age until now, nobody's been born again. Nobody's saved. Now you can see it's easy to identify the fallacy of this teaching. If miracles have passed away, then the new birth has passed away, because it is the greatest miracle of all. And we know that this is not true. That people, I mean, we're here. I know that I've been born again. I know that my nature's been changed. I know that. Again, God's gift to you is ability. And your gift to God is availability. Are you willing to put your life on the line? Willing to sacrifice what you've built up as far as standing or reputation in order to grow in faith? In other words, it's just coming before the Lord and saying, God, there's nothing about me that's off limits. I am yours, spirit, soul, and body. And I want to engage and do the works of Jesus. God's not going to allow you to bite off more than you can chew. Remember the parable of Jesus? He gave one talent, one five talents, each according to their ability. They put it to work, and all of a sudden, the guy who used to be a five-talent guy, now he's no longer a five-talent guy, is he? Now he's a 10-talent guy. He grew. He was able to increase his capacity. The two-talent guy is no longer a two-talent guy. He's a four-talent guy. Right? We won't talk this morning about the guy who just had the one and went and buried it. Didn't do anything with it. Except, I will tell you, the Lord said, well, he didn't say, well done, good and faithful servants. If you're willing to grow in faith and to see people's lives changed, I want you to stand to your feet. Before we sing this song, we're going to sing it and we're going to do something. Here's the prayer I'm going to lead you in. Mike, would you go ahead and put it on the screen? This is what we're going to pray in just a minute. We're going to pray, Father, you are God and you want to use me. You've invested your life in me. Your life and spirit in me, and you're looking for an increasing return in me. I choose to cooperate with you even to the extinction of my pride. I'm available and willing to be interrupted to minister to other people. That's what we're going to pray in just a minute. You think about the fervency and the faith in your heart to pray that. Right after we sing this, we'll do that.